Hello and welcome to Radio Edu Talk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening Patrick Boxall, Director of Create and Connect Learning. And over the next 20 or 25 minutes or so, we're going to be talking about making creative learning happen in the classroom. Welcome to Edu Talk, Patrick.
Hello, good evening, David. Thank you for asking me to join you.
Yes, it's great to have you on the show. And I'll just say at this point that this is a pre-recorded show, but if you do have any comments or questions for Patrick, you can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. But no doubt, as the show goes on, you'll understand that Patrick's also very much on the web, and there'll be other ways that you can indeed contact him directly. So to start off with, could you give us a kind of brief background to your career in education?
Well, I've spent the last 20 years or so working in high schools as an English and drama teacher, particularly running English and drama departments both in England and America, and now more recently in Scotland. And it's out of that I decided to sort of ski off piste, and a couple of years ago I started a PhD focused on creative learning. I also developed myself as an independent practitioner, trading as Create and Connect Learning, focused on creative learning. And through that, I've led various projects in different schools and organisations. And most recently, I also work part-time as a lecturer at New Battle Abbey College, working with adults on a regular basis.
When you say that you kind of went off-piste, Patrick, was that down to kind of experiences in America and England, or you know, was it to do with your kind of experiences of education closer to home?
I think it was my own thinking and my own aspirations and my own real desire to refocus on learning in a new way. I'd been a manager in a high school for a long time, and that was great. Honestly, still love schools. However, I wanted to focus on my own learning. And so it really came out of that thinking around creativity and creative learning that had been going on in and around classrooms pretty much as far as I can see throughout my career. And then also a desire to refocus or develop the way I was working as a practitioner in a more integrated way than just focusing on single curriculum outcomes. So I think that sort of thinking, that development in my thinking, was what really led me to jump ship, to think, okay, how can I do learning for myself better, and how can I develop learning in new ways for, you know, whoever I'm working with in education, whether it's from you know, primary school through to adults. And certainly that's been the experience since I left the school, that I've ended up working in a lot more varied context and a lot more varied ways than I had to up until that point. So, you know, it's been quite a ride, to be honest.
Was it to do then with your kind of changed in relation to you seeing a lot of things wrong with learning, or the way education is done here? Or was it more that you sort of developed a passion in how learning could be different?
I think there's a bit of both there. I think there I do have real criticisms, concerns about some of the ways we as a culture, not just in Scotland, but across the UK and actually in America as well, do learning. I think we can get preoccupied with things that can lose sight of what learning can really be about. But it's also, it wasn't at all just a negative thing. It was much more thinking, how can we do things better? How can we focus on the learner in a new way as a person, or not necessarily in a completely new way? How can we integrate the best of what we know from different places into experiences for learning that can be maybe a bit more interconnected, a bit richer? And that's certainly what's led me to connect work outdoors with what you might call conventional curriculum outcomes, what has led me to join up different pedagogies, like from perhaps you'd associate with drama, with different curriculum outcomes. It was very much about a development moving forward, some of which is raising questions about the system, but a lot was just about thinking, okay, how can we go forward and do things in a slightly, more developed, more thoughtful, more joined up. Certainly the word integrated comes up. It's quite significant for me about more integrated way.
And you mentioned there kind of different aspects of what we might come to know as creative learning, but did you find it any difficulties in kind of coming up with your own sort of definition or your own working model of what creative learning looks like, or is there, I know you're doing a PhD now and we'll speak about that later, but is the literature kind of agreeing on what creative learning is and looks like these days?
Not at all. I think one of the things that's most interesting to me is that this is an area that's completely in flux, and there are many definitions of creativity and creative learning in our society, and I've got my own evolving concept of that. In fact, I tend to no longer think about a definition of creativity or creative learning. I more think about descriptions of creativity and descriptions of creative learning, because I think there are problems with nearly all the received definitions. I mean, Creative Scotland puts out one definition that Education Scotland supports, and I think that's useful as far as it goes, but it's not the whole story at all. And I think there are many ways of thinking about creative learning that lead to quite complex and sometimes conflicting outcomes, actually, or certainly different views of what it can be. Very much that's partly coming out of my experience and partly coming out of the study. The more I study and the more I do, if you like, to be honest, the more complicated it gets in terms of, I don't know, there's neat definitions. That said, I've got my own set of definitions that are kind of my working definitions, if you like, but I honestly think the idea of describing those things is more useful.
I loved there was a phrase on your website, Patrick, that kind of really struck with me, and you might want to talk a bit more about it. You said that one of your aims is to empower learners to become makers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The concept of making, to me, is central to any description or definition of creative learning, because at the heart of the idea of creativity is always a maker, a person who is becoming an agent, becoming autonomous, is managing their own experiences in their own life to make something of value for themselves and hopefully for other people. And I think that process is fundamentally empowering. And I certainly believe strongly that idea of the maker and the empowered learner is fundamental to education and should be fundamental to how we do learning towards the many outcomes that exist in the world and in society. I feel strongly that we can, if we claim that idea of the maker, which is really the idea of the individual as agent, as autonomous being that can make things of value for themselves, that I think we can, I think we can have our cake and eat it. We can think of a child as an autonomous learner that can be empowered, but also achieve the outcomes that society expects of us. So it's actually learner as maker is fundamental, really, to how I work. And actually there's that concept, I think, finds resonance in all sorts of thinkers and all sorts of philosophical positions globally and historically as well.
And I'm just wondering at this point, Patrick, whether you could maybe take us through, I know we don't have massive amounts of time, but it'd be really interesting to hear about some of your projects that you've worked on with young people, maybe just prior to your present role as a lecturer. I know you're talking about kind of projects around imagination, young people taking risks, using skills and context, that kind of thing. So what really has stood out for you over the last couple of
Well,
years?
yeah, I mean, the role as a, just a word on that, the role of the lecturer is actually taking forward many of these ideas, but in a context that I just happen to go to on a weekly basis, because there are projects going on right now through Newcastle Abbey College that are really exciting, that I would call creative learning. We're developing a forest college at Newcastle Abbey College, and we're working with learners to achieve what you might think of as conventional curriculum outcomes, but with a bit of creative learning thinking, whether it's doing communications in the woods or creative writing in the woods or storytelling and story making in the woods again, but with a Gaelic focus, because it was a Gaelic centre, as it's a developing Gaelic centre at Newbattle. So the creative learning is coming out all the time in my work as a lecturer. It's quite a flexible and occasionally quite liberating environment working in Newbattle. But some of the other projects, had a fantastic project that sort of really turned into three or four projects in a row in a residential special school, where we did a project called Project Free, where we worked around the campfire to develop the idea of what it meant to be free. And we developed several imaginative learning projects out of imaginative learning adventures, if you like, out of that experience. We did The Tempest. We did The Tempest with the same kids, but again, hardly using the text of Shakespeare, but using the story. That particular school I was at has a boat planted in their garden, so we used that boat to go on an imaginative journey, and through that we explored all sorts of fabulous things imaginatively, but also used digital media to record and develop some of the outcomes, and also had woven into that health and well-being outcomes, because we were really trying to build the confidence of the children. The same group of kids did the Fantastic Mr. Fox, the Roald Dahl story, but again, we did that outside, working with more forest school pedagogies to explore that text imaginatively, again, using iPads to interview the characters. So again, we were achieving several digital outcomes. One of my first projects was a song-making project where, in a primary school in Edinburgh, I worked with a musician and, using drama pedagogy, critical literacy pedagogy, and musical skills, we wrote the words and music for a song really from the ground up, and again used digital technology to record the work and then finally create the song, which was then recorded and is out there online as we speak. Yeah, we did a panda project, a project in a high school called the Panda Project, where we looked at human rights and issues with our relationship with China, but from the, not quite through a panda's eyes, but certainly through the lens of Scotland's relationship with China through the zoo and the presence of the pandas here. Yeah, so there's been other wee projects. There's a fantastic event we did over in Jeepers, I've forgotten where it was, but in a high school over out west, where we did a whole project off timetable with, where we imagined as there was a zombie virus loose in the school and built team building activity into that. So yeah, it's been quite a lot of fun the last year or so, working with different things in different contexts, both inside and outside, actually.
And within your work with schools, Patrick, do you also work with the staff around sort of curriculum design?
Absolutely. No, I've done various training sessions for teachers, all introducing them to the concept of creative learning as about creating imaginative contexts for learning, where you can create an environment for possibility thinking and problem solving. And whether that's been through, I do a project with teachers called the Time Machine, where the teachers participate in creating a time machine. And then from that, we think about what curriculum outcomes we could achieve and how we could map the experiences and outcomes into what is fundamentally an imaginative project. And that's had a bit of traction and started to use in different places in different ways. I've also done more, slightly more, but maybe more academic, with an academic twist, thinking about pedagogy and power, and creativity and what that may mean for learners. So perhaps in a more strategic way, as well. And yeah, no, and I mean, looked at, spoke at one or two conferences. Also, to Pedagogy has been a good example of this scale, all focusing on the idea of how can we make creative learning happen in the classroom.
And that sounds like it ties in nicely with your PhD, which correct me if I'm wrong, it's entitled Creativity and Creative Learning Policy to Pedagogy. So can you just tell us a bit about how that links into your work and how it came about and what your research question is?
Absolutely. I mean, the research is really focused on how in Scotland we've got some wonderful initiatives around creativity. We've got the What is Creativity, the Creative Learning Plan in Scotland, and the Creative Learning Network. There's a really interesting focus in Scotland around creativity, particularly since around 2012, 2013. And I'm really interested in about how those policies tie into Curriculum for Excellence and how they've developed in Curriculum for Excellence since its inception. And then how are the really the research questions are about how are the enactors of education making creativity and creative learning, which are two, I guess, slightly separate things, happen in schools, in local authorities, and in classrooms. So the research is going to be focused with the enactors of creative learning. So that would be senior managers, managers, and teachers. And to really drill down into it, what people believe about creativity and about learning, how people believe they are enacting on policies or not, because I think that's very complicated. People's actual relationship with policy, it's not always an easy relationship at all. And how that also matches into people's values and beliefs about themselves as learners and themselves as practitioners. So it's what I see is that the PhD is almost creating a backbone, an intellectual backbone to what I'm doing. And then my experience as a practitioner is feeding directly into the PhD. And certainly there are some tremendous methodologies that allow a researcher to combine being a practitioner with being a researcher, and to use the experience together, experiences together, to seek interesting outcomes, interesting insights that hopefully will be of use into possible futures.
I know you've got your blog on your website, and you're talking about presenting at Pedagogy, etc. So are you kind of talking through your journey of your PhD, or will it be some time before fellow practitioners will be able to discover your findings?
I mean, I'm trying to use what I'm learning from the PhD in very practical and useful ways as I go along, in the sense that I think it's quite demanding to get to dive straight into academic thinking and academic speak. So, for example, I've been really looking at the whole idea of dialogic learning and some of the great thinkers around that, like Paulo Freire, and how that influences creative learning. And so I've been bringing that into workshops with teachers, how creating spaces for dialogue in classrooms create spaces for the maker, the aforementioned maker, the empowered learner, to really flourish. So I'm trying to bring research into the world piece by piece as I research. Because I'm also working on the PhD part time, it'll actually be quite a few years before I get to that old idea of findings or conclusions. I'm actually at that point where I'm about to go out into the field and do practical face-to-face research. So what I really want to do is to use the PhD in a very practical way by applying it in action, in the here and now. And certainly some of the, it's been a tremendous experience actually, even to this point, about how you start joining up different aspects of education. So, for example, joining up our tradition in Scotland, the fantastic liberal democratic tradition of Scotland, with contemporary ideas of creativity and creative learning, with contemporary practices and interesting pedagogies that people are putting in, making happen in classrooms, combining that with some of the more philosophical theories, if you like, that you might associate with progressive learning, whether it's going back to John Dewey or Bruno or Paulo Freire, and bringing all that together and thinking, okay, what does that actually look like in the room for young people in order to get the best outcomes you can?
I mean, all the best with the PhD, Patrick, and if there's any way that EduTalk listeners can help, feel free to put a shout out.
After the summer, I may well be knocking on your door.
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose at this stage, and we're just coming to the end, again, you're mentioning some kind of key thinkers there. If listeners would like to find out more about your work, or Forest School, or who the people are that have influenced you in this kind of stage of your career, can you leave us with some key links?
Absolutely. I try and keep a blog. I try and keep going on Twitter, which is @createcolearn. Now, I'm not very good at keeping up. And I'm online on www.createandconnect.co.uk. But there's some other great places to look. There's the organisation that's actually based in England, Creativity Culture Education, is a fantastic resource of research and thinking, and actually is the same organisation that used to be run by Ken Robinson in those heady days of the turn of the
Absolutely.
Century when
yeah.
creativity was on the but since the change in government, shall we say, a few years ago, the funding was taken out of that organization, the Creative Partnerships, and it had to survive on its own, but it still exists, Creativity Culture Education. And interestingly, the OECD is picking up on some of that research and is really trying to push forward on ideas around creative learning and people that are involved in that. There's curiously in Winchester, there's a Center for Real World Learning in Winchester. There's a guy called Bill Lucas who's quite influential. And it is, I think it's very, very interesting that just at the point that in England, the eye went off the ball of creativity, it's really flourishing in Scotland. And in some ways, I think Scotland is connecting quite powerfully to the rest of the world, whether it's to the OECD and Europe and across the pond. Certainly, until recent, again, change in government there, creativity was really a significant focus under the Obama administration. So there's quite a lot out there for if you get out there and start looking.
Well, that's great, Patrick. Thank you very much. And we'll put some of those links up next to the audio at the EduTalk website. Listen, thank you so Right. much for taking time out to join us on EduTalk, and sincerely extend an invitation for you to come back on the show. Either to let us know about new projects or a kind of update on your PhD, and indeed, as I say, if EduTalk listeners can be of any help whatsoever, then feel free to come on and put a wee call out on air. But thanks again, Patrick.